It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out radio show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on 106.7, 5, and 3. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When legendary drummer Keith Moon was MIA, who did the Who turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
When the great Pele asked for a sub, who did his World Cup team turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
Now this world-renowned musician slash athlete has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only,
I mean, could you imagine a twin?
Paul Lavoie.
All right, welcome to Speak Out. It's Monday, June 1st, 2026. Welcome back, Jim Russell.
Yes, my word. How did it get to be June?
I know. It's kind of old hat around here when we throw that around.
Yes.
But this is serious. This is like serious time consumption as you get older.
Yes.
I don't know if that's what it is or what.
It is. It is, sadly.
So is I know June 14th, this is a fun fact, is Donald Trump's birthday, the Flag Day. So is the 15th midway through the year the official midway point?
I don't know. It would sound logical.
Doesn't it, though? What
probably
do you think, Sarah?
Too logical.
I have no idea.
Does it sound logical, though?
I thought July was the middle of the year.
I would think it would be because there's 12 months. June is number 6, then the 15th is the middle of the year. Month,
well,
so.
I would agree with that rationale.
Yeah.
Okay, Paul.
Maybe, possibly. I'm going to have to go to the old Farmer's Almanac to figure that one out.
Okay.
Or AI.
So I did something healthy.
No.
Yeah. I got and it's on Facebook.
Uh-huh.
I got my shingles shot. The first part of my shingles vaccine shot.
Why would you want to do that?
Because I know there's a lot of people asking that, right? But a lot of people say good for you.
Well, I would say good for you, but what's your reason?
My mother told me, my stepmother. When I had chicken pox, which is related to shingles, apparently,
yes.
I had the worst case she had ever seen. And I thought, you know, I've been putting this off and putting this off and putting this off. I don't want to have the worst case of shingles that anyone's ever seen.
Or any
case. Does that make sense?
It does. It does. Okay. Yeah.
So, I mean, I can still feel it in my arm.
Yeah.
And Saturday was a real ugh kind of day, like, you know, 99.4, 0.5 type temperature thing. I just felt crummy for a day.
Okay.
Is that a normal?
Yeah, from what I gather, there's a lot worse. Yeah.
Yeah.
But some people don't. Most people don't feel anything.
Okay.
It could be because I didn't have a healthy breakfast, or I don't know, or maybe because I was joking around with the nurse. So, who knows?
Okay. Well, and y'all, you have to have another one.
Yeah, 3 to 6 months.
Okay.
I shop local, so I went to Liska's because they're my pharmacy anyway.
Great.
And So anyway,
awesome.
There you go.
Good.
Yeah.
Am I the only one
that has had it? No,
yeah.
I believe I've had it.
You've had it? Okay.
Yeah.
But not shingles?
Not yet, correct.
Oh,
not the
you.
Not the sickness. I've had the shot.
I'm in my 60s, so I thought I'd better, you know.
And Hospice of Havasu uses Liska's for our pharmacy, for our patients.
Oh,
so
really?
You can tie it all together.
Nice. Nice segue. Perfect.
Yes.
So Sarah Messmer is here. Before I get any nasty grams for not introducing my guest in the first 3 seconds. Sarah Messmer, Hospice of Havasu Community Engagement Manager.
That is correct.
Welcome back.
Thank you, Paul. Nice to see you, Paul and Jim.
Thank you.
Yeah, nice to see us all above ground,
yes.
Right?
Yes, yes.
Man. And at the bottom of the hour, we'll have Caroline Strecker. She's coming in again. Her second half hour. She's a candidate for Legislative District 30 State Representative. I think you'll find her.
Mm-hmm.
She's a very bright, young,
good,
talented woman. She's and is in the medical industry. She is a nurse, I believe, or ER nurse, possibly, if I remember right,
okay.
at Valley View Medical.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, at Valley View. So, yeah, and she'll be here in studio, not calling in.
Wow.
Right. So you wanted to talk about long-term care, the ins and outs of care as we age.
Yes. So Hospice of Havasu, we are a trusted provider in Lake Havasu City and Bullhead City since 1982, and we are a not-for-profit hospice organization, and we are dedicated to providing compassionate care with dignity to individuals and families facing serious illness. So that is hospice care. We also are very passionate and committed to educating the community about not only hospice care, but resources that are available that they might not even know about yet because they are just starting to navigate changing in health needs or changing in caregiving needs. So when we use the word long-term care, that means a lot of things to a lot of people. We are going to be offering a free presentation facilitated by our social workers on Thursday, June 11th from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. here in Lake Havasu City on the ins and outs of care as we age. Lots of care is available out there, but you don't know where to look sometimes.
Yeah.
So we don't like people to suffer at home, fall at home, become more debilitated at home because they didn't have the right care. A lot of people, when they're as they get older, the changes are gradual. You kind of just adapt, and then one day you wake up and you say, we just can't do this anymore. Mm. I can't shower by myself. I can't, stand up in the kitchen and fry an egg by myself type of thing. Mm. So we're going to talk about the ins and outs of care as we age, the financial aspects of paying for the care, and where do you get care? Do you get care at home, assisted living, a skilled nursing facility, and then the types of care that are available, what we call personal care, home health care, and, of course, hospice care. Those are all different types of care and care settings. Some of them cost money. Some of them are covered through your insurance, and we are just there to help answer questions and help people navigate this ever-changing caregiving arena.
I want to ask Jim a question.
Yes?
Instead of our guest,
okay.
Right, my co-host.
This a test?
I'm not going to say how old you are, and
okay.
Then don't take this the wrong way. What is your secret? How in the heck do you stay so ambulatory?
Extremely good luck.
And you stay busy, and you move.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, I suspect that there's truth to that.
Physically, he can run circles around me
so
now.
So his genetics, his health, the fact that he stays busy, that he's easily able to walk around and move.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, you've heard of this. You've met somebody that, they fell, they broke a hip, and after that, it just went downhill.
Yeah.
Not moving and staying in bed or in your chair, the more you do that, for whatever reason,
mm-hmm.
you could be depressed, you could have a hard time getting around, you could be dizzy when you stand up. For whatever the reasons, it does accelerate a decline.
Yes.
What's the rule of thumb then if you do sit and, like my dad, I always visit and he's watching TV, he would get up and do things for himself,
right.
but he would get dizzy.
Yeah.
What's the rule of thumb? Every hour?
Sure, whatever you want. I sit at a desk most of the time during the day, so I try to get up once an hour. Use the restroom, go down. We have two levels in our building. Go downstairs, walk over to the Hospice of Havasu resale store and see
check
what's new over there.
Jim, she's like half my age, right?
Yes.
And just keep, get off your butt and move.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned your very good description there. You said someone falls and breaks a hip. Mm-hmm. I remember many years ago on the show we had someone on talking about that sort of thing, and they said, and many times it is, the correct statement is broke a hip and fell. that it isn't.
In that order?
In that order,
No, you're absolutely right.
Like the bones are that fragile?
Exactly, yes.
Wow. I've known people that have stood up and their femur broke by standing
man.
Up. Getting
just
up
creepy.
Off the chair.
Oh.
Yeah, so you're absolutely right,
yeah.
Jim. Yeah.
Thanks for the heebie-jeebies,
and
by the way.
Any time I hear of somebody falling, that goes through my mind. Yes. I think, oh, my God.
You could
break it isn't
up,
just, you didn't just trip over the dog, perhaps.
Correct.
Fell on the dog because something broke.
Or getting dressed in the morning, putting your leg up to put your pants on,
uh-huh.
and then you break something that way. You haven't fallen yet,
yeah.
but your leg just breaks. Yeah.
So who should go to this presentation?
Everyone.
Oh, that is a great question, and it's a great
you.
Answer, everyone. So if you're a caregiver if you are a caregiver of someone that's aging, whether you're the son, the daughter, the spouse, whether you're the neighbor, mm-hmm. well, maybe not the neighbor, but...
The person who checks in.
Mm-hmm. If you want to know more about this, if you want to try to help your neighbor and you don't even know where to start and you want to learn more about this, and the person themselves, if you know you're aging and you're like, I need more help and I don't know what to do, and come and learn about the resources. And a nice segue into that is we're going to have social workers that are going to be there to talk about the different types of services available in Lake Havasu, as well as the financial aspects of care. Because the next question people always ask is, well, how much does this cost?
Certainly.
Right?
Yes.
So
very logical.
Very logical question. So we're there to help explain what the costs are, if insurance is covered or not covered, if you have long-term care insurance. And you would know if you have a long-term care insurance policy because you're paying on it, mm-hmm. either quarterly or monthly or annually. So you would know that. And then now it might be time to start calling that policy to learn how you can use it. And then also the state of Arizona has a Medicaid program for low income. You have to qualify financially and medically to be on this program. Hmm.
And you need to reserve your seat, though, right?
This
is a reservation.
Yep, reservation. You want to call mm-hmm. our office at 928-453-2111 and ask to be have a seat reserved for you at the Hospice of Havasu, the long-term care presentation on June 11th, which is next Thursday from 10 to 11.
Yeah, husbands and wives, have that conversation before you make the call for the reservation. Don't surprise each other with that.
Yes, and it's,
probably avoid a good fight that way.
Any couples, you know, partnerships, couples, mm-hmm. you don't have to be married, you know, just anybody that wants to come and learn. This would not be designed, though, for someone who is a caregiver that, like, works, like, at a nursing home. They don't need to come to this.
Okay.
This is not like a...
Training.
Exactly. Yeah. This is for the general public.
You've mentioned those various types of and levels of care.
Yes.
Does Hospice of Havasu provide service in all of those levels?
No, that's a great question, Jim. The service that we provide is hospice care only.
Uh-huh.
We also have a transitions program, which is a social work program. So it's just social work resources. It's not medical. But on the hospice side of things, that is for someone that may need to have a caregiver in place as well, or they might need to live at assisted living. You can live at assisted living, you can have a caregiver at home, and still have hospice care. Hospice care is for someone that is at the end stage of an advanced illness mm-hmm. and they're no longer seeking treatment. That's the criteria for hospice care. So that's a great question, Jim, because it's confusing. Well, can I have home health and hospice? No. You can have hospice care, but you can have hospice care at your home, at assisted living, or at a skilled nursing facility. And you can have hospice care and still hire caregivers as well.
If you have DNR in your...
Do not resuscitate.
Yes, thank you. Then that's where... hospice care would come in?
Not necessarily.
We
have patients that are on hospice care, so they qualify medically because they're at the end stage of an advanced illness, and they do not want to sign a do not resuscitate. They still want CPR if their heart stops beating. And that's okay.
Yes.
That is not a requirement. You do not have to be a DNR to accept hospice care.
Wow.
We do explain to the family and the patient that if you do stop breathing, we're going to, you know, do compressions on your chest, and it's more likely going to cause rib breakage and damage.
Sure.
And then that will be another situation that you'll be dealing with, is all that pain.
The medical.
And do you really want to do that to your already frail body? But we honor people's wishes, and if that's what they want, then we will honor their wishes.
What wonderful service this is. You provide to the community.
It really is.
I don't know how you find human beings to do that job.
Yes,
I really don't.
Everyone that works in the Hospice of Havasu building is amazing.
Mm. Wow.
Really, they found their calling.
Did you want to talk about the resource guides or...
I sure do.
That so, before we go to break?
Sure. So, Paul, as a not-for-profit agency, the only one in Lake Havasu, the only one in Bullhead City. We started in 1982. We exist to serve the community. So we have put together a Lake Havasu City and a Bullhead City resource guide. And this resource guide, we print like 10,000 of these a year. They're in every doctor's office in between Havasu and Bullhead. Everyone that comes to our building gets one of these resource guides. All of our patients get the resource guide. And we even have other hospice companies that use our resource guide. It's a list of all those phone numbers that you might not know exist or are available for services that help people as they're aging and their caregiving needs start to change. Anything from caregiving and nursing services, counseling services, dementia, Alzheimer's resources, Social Security information, information on the state of Arizona Medicaid program called Altex for long-term care. Oh. There's people in town that will offer haircuts in your home or nail care in your home. Even people, for example, there's a home organization downsizing section in here. If you're going to sell your home and move to assisted living, you're going to downsize, you're going to sell the house, but you've got 50 years worth of stuff at your house, and now you don't feel like, you know, packing it all up or going through it, you can hire someone to do that. There's also another great service, mobile lab companies. There are several mobile lab companies that come to your home to do your labs.
Wow.
There's a convenience fee, of course, because it is convenient, and then they will take your labs to whatever lab company that you want to process those labs. There's even laundry. There's some laundromats in town that will pick up and deliver clean laundry.
Fluff and fold.
Yeah.
I've done that before as a single guy. I mean, I don't do it now. I do my own, but when I've been between washer and dryer.
Yes.
Fluff and fold's wonderful.
Yes. So anyways, there's transportation resources in here. Veterans Affairs, there's a whole page on Veterans Affairs. It is our pleasure to keep this updated and as a great tool for folks in the community of Havasu and Bullhead. If you want a resource guide, you can call, ask for Sarah. I will mail you one. There's also available on our website at hospicehavasu.org. Hospicehavasu.org. Click on resources. They're there. You can print them off. Come to our office. Pick them up. I can even do presentations to your church group or club or anywhere that has a meeting.
Can I save you a stamp and request mine
sure,
right now?
Sure, yes.
All right, perfect.
Absolutely.
We're going to take our first break of the hour. Little Jackson Browne, Dr. My Eyes. How's that?
Good.
Segue right there.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
All right.
That was smooth.
Thank you. Thank you very much. That's Jim Russell, our co-host on Mondays, and Sarah Mesmer is here. She is the Hospice of Havasu Community Engagement Manager. They're doing a fine job, I might say.
Well, thank you. It's our pleasure to be here, my pleasure to be here, and it's right. Easy to talk about something I'm really passionate about.
Any questions? 928-854-5687. I did that on purpose.
The
buffering.
Pause.
The buffering, yeah. Uh-huh. We call it buffering here.
Added importance
I actually
to it.
Did it on purpose
and
because...
And suspense.
I've been told... Man, you say those phone numbers fast. Okay, I'm not going to do that anymore.
Okay, that was
928-727-5566 is our text line. So give us a talk or a text. Make this talk radio, not just listen radio, right?
Yes, indeed.
All right, stay with us. We'll be right back on Speak Out. That's one of those PCH songs, by the way, Jim.
Uh-huh.
He says, I'll get down to the sea somehow. That's what he's talking about, Rock Me on the Water.
Pacific Coast Highway?
The surge of the ocean, the energy that comes from it, and why I'm going to Central Coast again this summer, right?
Yeah. Cool.
When you don't see me on the show, you'll know where I'm at, right? Place called Ragged Point.
Yes.
It's just up from San Simeon.
Mm-hmm.
You know why? There's no cell service.
Yes, you. Nobody can reach you.
Off the grid in the rocks of the Pacific
Ocean.
Ooh,
is that a call?
That is a phone call. How did you know that? Did you hear that?
I did.
All right, we're going to ask the caller to stand by for 1 second as we tell you Speak Out's brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage. Love those guys. Also, Mojave Electric Cooperative, Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford, also TWN Fiber Internet, Salmon's Air Conditioning, Western Arizona Regional Medical Center, and by Booby Falls Restaurant and Rodeo, Main Street, Havasu. Let's go ahead and take our phone call. Caller, you're live on Speak Out. Hello, caller.
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I would like to, I'm calling to speak, my name is Philip, I'm sorry. I was calling to speak to the lady from hospice.
Yes, hi, Philip.
Hi. I was wondering, since you no longer have the Palladori house and the retail center was kind of brought up to help pay for that, where does that money go today?
Okay, that's a great question, Philip. We still, first of all, we still own the building that the Palladori house was in. It's currently being leased. We have a we have a tenant now. And then the monies that are raised from the resale store help the Hospice of Havasu mission still. It goes to our printing these resource guides, the community education that we provide, the grief support that we provide the community, and the transitions program that we offer to the community. Since the Palladori house is no longer being utilized as an inpatient unit, we have doubled the size of the transitions team. So we have two full-time social workers now that are helping transitions clients. And if I had to take a guess, I would say we have 4 to 5 times more clients we're helping on the transitions program than we are helping on the hospice side of things. And that makes us excited because that's that many more people that we're helping, that there's still lots of living that is done before you're at the end stage of an advanced illness. So we really are making a good impact on our community as a not-for-profit, serving the community members where they have their needs or where their needs are. And, of course, when they are eligible for hospice care, they can choose any hospice company they want in Lake Havasu. We would hope that they chose ours, but they don't have to. And that's where the monies from the resale store are going. So that's a great question. Thank you, Philip.
Okay. And also, how are things at the resale store going these days? Are you still staying busy there, opening 7 days a week now?
Yes, we are open 7 days a week. And the resale store is busy. We have donors in the back donating. I can't tell you the number of carloads a day, but it's, I drive by the resale store going home to lunch, and there's like 3-4 cars every time at noon. I mean, always, when I drive by the back of the building, there are always cars lined up all day long in the back, and then the shoppers in the front of our parking lot is always packed as well. So the resale store is very, very busy. The amount of people in this town that love thrifting is huge, and the amount of people in this town that like to shop at a place that's local and get a good deal for something is huge. And then the donors that are donating their items is wonderful. Yes. Yeah, so
I have some items.
Go ahead, Philip.
I'll tell you something that really struck me. I was down on McCulloch one day, and I just happened to walk into the Goodwill store, just because I was familiar with your store, and I was surprised at how large that place is. But what really struck me is I walked over to the book section, which is where I spend most of my time, and what they get for a book is like $3 versus you guys get a buck.
Okay.
I mean, it's a much better deal. They may have a bigger selection, but it's a much better deal at the retail store.
Right, and that's a good point. We don't have a lot of room, so we need the stuff to come in as fast as it comes in. It needs to go out as fast as it comes in. So we have things that are priced to sell, and that benefits the consumer.
Yeah,
and us as well.
Absolutely.
But it's we the stuff comes in and goes out the same day. It's it's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you very
much. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Okay.
Thank you. Thanks for the phone call.
Take care.
I wanted to talk about why nonprofit hospice care matters. Do we have time, though? We only have a couple minutes.
Sure. Am I still on?
Yeah, you're still on.
So why nonprofit care matters. Hospice of Havasu, we exist to serve the community by providing mission-driven, not-profit-driven care. We prioritize patient care over profit. It allows us for higher quality care, more visits to the patient, and comprehensive bereavement services. In addition to that transitions program that I briefly mentioned, the social workers offering social work resource guidance to people that aren't on hospice care yet, that are still going to their doctor, still seeking treatment, still figuring out what's going on with them. That is priceless, and that is what we offer. We provide care for all, hospice care that's based on medical eligibility, regardless of insurance or ability to pay, is another thing that sets us apart from our competition, is that we will provide care for everyone regardless of their insurance status or ability to pay, as long as they meet hospice eligibility guidelines. We still have to follow Medicare guidelines for that. And then we are local, we are accountable, and we are trusted since 1982. We are governed by a local volunteer board of directors comprised of 13 members right now of local community members to ensure that we are accountable to our patients and families entrusted in our care.
Very good.
It's making me feel old.
No!
I graduated in 82.
Hospice care is not about being old. You can have an advanced illness at any age.
No, I don't mean that way. Oh. I'm talking about when you say things like, since 1982.
Oh, I see.
Oh, my brother.
44 years?
I don't know which reunion it is coming up, but it's a lot of them.
It's well into the double digits.
Yes, yeah. Oh, I guess, yeah, 45 would be in 27,
yeah,
so there you
44 years.
Wow,
yeah.
Where did the time go?
I've been there for 17 of them.
Wow.
Nice.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yes.
When's your work anniversary?
March.
Oh, so is mine.
Okay.
March 1st. Cool. Mine was, this is my... 6th year.
Oh,
yes.
Wonderful. Congratulations.
It's easy. When you're hired in 2020, it's easier to figure that
That's
out, right?
That's true. That's a good point.
Unless
yeah.
you're me, you got to hesitate. Sarah, always good to have you. Thanks for being here.
Thank you. My pleasure.
We're going to make way for Caroline Strecker. She is a candidate for Legislative District 30 State Representative. Hello. How are you? She's good. All right. Back with more in a moment. Sarah's going to go ahead and exit and
yes.
bring on Caroline. You haven't met her yet.
Sarah, no, but Sarah, thank you for the great work you do.
All right. Thank you very much. Back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out. Welcome back to Speak Out, brought to you in part by Springberg Wealth Management, also by The Chair, Laughlin Ranch, Mojave College, Shooter's Outpost, also by Solar Power by Esme Electric, Dorita's Place, Legacy Rehab and Care, A&B Propane, online at abpropaneaz.com. Don't forget about the primary candidates forum Wednesday, June 17th. I believe it's at 5:30 p.m., live on 106.75 and 3, Voice of the Free, and streaming at kntrtalk.com. I'm sure you'll be there, Caroline.
Yes, I'll be there.
You grabbed that one. Never mind. No, you're good. Oh, you got it?
Yes.
Okay, we're good. You there?
Yes, I think
All right, perfect. I adapted. Right, Jim?
You were good.
I wasn't sure.
You were right on it.
Yeah, well, you know, sometimes you got to do what you got to do, and it's live radio. So, Caroline Strecker, back to CS, candidate for Legislative District 30 State Representative. I want to get into your community involvement. We didn't really get into that before.
No.
We didn't have time.
Yeah. Sometimes I kind of, there's a lot happening, and my resume is a little bit lengthy, but yes, so... the community involvement, and is it okay? I asked you before coming down here if I could just use some of my time for a little bit of a plug, and it's for the Boys and Girls Club of the Colorado River. And you said, yeah, it's okay. So let's talk about it.
Can you imagine me saying no
yeah.
to the club? Come on.
Yeah. Yeah. How many years were you involved?
Five and a half. Yeah. So, as a grant writer and resource development director. So full disclosure.
Okay.
What do you do for the club?
So I am a newly appointed an elected board member. I believe there's 15 of us, if I remember correctly. But so kind of the context and synopsis of uh-huh. what's happening. The Boys and Girls Club, Colorado River, it encompasses Laughlin, Bullhead City, and we had a Fort Mojave campus. Well, I live in Fort Mojave.
Right.
And I don't know if you guys, I think I just told you, but... a couple months ago, the Fort Mojave campus was closed.
After all that work.
Yeah, it's shut down.
Oh.
And due to some financial instability.
Uh-huh.
And so Dave Heath, our new CEO, whom I really, really admire, he left his job of 22 years with Bullhead City to come and be the new CEO pretty much in unknown waters, not knowing what the salary is going to be. Are we even going to make it out of this big hole? But he's put together this amazing board. And I got contacted to come help. And, of course, yeah, just like you said, what are we going to say to the kids? Like no to the Boys and Girls Club? Absolutely not.
Are you going to say no to Dave Heath? That's my thought. Like, Dave Heath asked you to be on a board. you take that opportunity and make the leap.
Well, I didn't know Dave. So this is the first time that I got to know him, but he does seem like a great leader, and I'm really excited to work with him. So, so the plug that I kind of wanted to mention is that we're really trying to get the third campus open, and from what I understand, I guess 2 or 3 board meetings ago, they were really worried that all 3 campuses were pretty much going to be closed.
Oh my goodness.
I don't want to say, I don't know what I'm allowed, not allowled to say.
That was the thought. I had heard the same thing.
Okay.
Folks, so
yeah.
Don't panic.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's why.
But not now.
Not now. Right. So we, the first big fundraiser that we're going to have on July 31st is the Margarita Festival, which props to the Riverside, for hosting it. And, it's going to be at the Starview Room. And we're going to have, of course, all the fun margaritas. We're going to have, fan favorite, the best on the rocks, people's choice, all these great things. I asked you, it's okay if I talk about
there's
it.
There's a rocks blended, people's choice, and best booth.
Yes.
Usually.
Yes.
I've recruited about 12 to 15 booths at, depending on the year.
Yeah, okay.
That's a fundraiser.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Fundraiser, exactly. So, the tables, there's only 10 left. If you do want to be a part of the sponsorship, they're 400. And then there's several sponsorships available. There's like a $2,500, $1,500, and a $1,000 Michelada blended sponsor, and only one on the rocks left. But of course, the best person to contact, is the Boys and Girls Club.
Right.
And their number is 928-763-1411.
That's right.
1411. So, and again, you don't necessarily all your listeners, you don't have to buy a sponsorship. You can just, but we're really asking, please donate. Okay. This is for Fort Mojave, Laughlin, Bullhead City, the Boys and Girls Club. And it's just so imperative that we have this for our community. And, so anyway, I hope I answered your question.
Yeah. The clubs they're not supported by Boys and Girls Clubs of America.
No.
They're supported, what am I trying to say? With the programs in that, but it's not like somebody funds them. It's private funding.
Yeah, folks, community.
And grant funding.
Yes.
So I
didn't know that you had that role either.
I wrote and acquired a few grants for them, yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Don't tell Dave that I'm here. I'm hiding. No, he knows. He's been on the show before. But how important is that? To you, do you have children?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, of course, one is that I grew up in California, in elementary, high school, and whatnot, and then I came to Arizona, and I've been here ever since. But I was part of the Boys and Girls Club. My children don't go to the Boys and Girls Club.
Which one?
So I grew up in, La Cañada, and then around the Pasadena Glendale area.
Okay.
And so my grandparents were in Glendale. I lived around Pasadena, so I would kind of annex between the clubs around there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Where Jim used to hang out, which was like Poyquema area?
No, I grew up in Altadena.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So.
Well, Steve Miller, of the Steve Miller Band, has a big interest in Boys and Girls Clubs, and he actually has a music program in one of those. Central Coast-ish.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So it is actually the involvement of a lot of celebrities and athletes in Boys and Girls Club is just endless. But anyway, I want to talk about Legislative District 30.
Yes.
How have things been going on the road? And how I've asked other candidates this, how many miles have you put on your vehicles?
I honestly don't even know, but a lot. It's really put in a lot, but... Again, this is kind of a you have to kind of know what you're getting involved with. I don't expect anybody else to drive me, but just this past weekend we went up to Colorado City.
Yeah, you were there.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was stunning. We've already started planning trips to going back and next time bringing the kids. So I used to go through there to get to Bryan Head because I'm an avid snowboarder. So I would normally go up there and just be carving on the mountains. But this time we took a bit of a detour to the right, and it was really, really stunning. So the event was awesome, and we had a great time.
I like to fish Panguitch.
Oh, okay.
Panguitch Lake. Yeah, absolutely. Was that the one where Lieutenant Alan West, was he there?
No, that was the Golden Valley event.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah, different.
Were you there also?
No, that one I couldn't make. Okay. I think I was working that day, but.
What are some of the bigger issues that the constituents in Legislative District 30 are bringing to your attention? What do they want to see?
So I think the biggest one is water. I think, there is concerns, obviously, about the fraud, the waste, but I think the citizens' concerns is really around the infrastructure and then water. I attended a community meeting recently, and there are people in Golden Valley who state that their wells, not only is that they seem to be dropping, but that the ground level seems to have some instability under it as well.
Ooh.
So, and again, I don't have any photos or anything, but I believe the community members.
Well, that's what you're hearing from people.
Yes,
and that would be what happens with that, Jim. You get silt.
Well, yeah, and I think the well ultimately shuts down or becomes, delivers so little water that you have to drill it deeper.
Correct.
Or move the location.
And what we were told by, we did have a local elected official attend, and that the understanding is that this is specific to the Sacramento Basin, that it is dropping 1 foot a year, which, ooh. Which doesn't sound like very much, but if you already have a well with an established level and it's dropping a foot a year, so what's going to happen in 5, 10, 15 years from now? So this is concerning. A lot of people in the local communities, they want to pass on, nobody can afford housing anymore, so it's kind of going to be a generational pass off of the homes and land and property that seems to be where we're heading. And people are talking about, I'm going to give my house to my kids, my grandchildren. Well, in 200 years from now, where's our water going to be?
Yeah.
Yeah, good point.
Well, and with that kind of lowering of the level of the water table, the cost to the homeowner to deepen the well, it isn't just a easy, quick solution.
No, right.
You have to extract everything from the well to make additions and things. It'd be a considerable expense.
Yeah, I mean, a $20,000, dollar plus, that's not feasible. People can't even, people on fixed incomes, all of my elderly patients, they're worried about 100 to electric rates.
Yeah.
They're worried about their
gasoline,
food, let alone trying to, fork out a $20,000 plus drill for a well. So it's water and the infrastructure.
If forgive me for asking, but what area does District 30 encompass?
So District 30 encompasses all the way from Colorado City, so the tip, right around the northern Arizona border, and then it comes down through Kingman. We encompass parts of Wickenburg, and with the newest redistricting, we just have a sliver now of Maricopa County in there. So we're actually one of the few legislative districts that has, I believe, 5 counties and all of LD30.
Wow.
So, yeah. And then we come back, and then, of course, we have Kingman, Bullhead, Havasu, and then parts of La Paz as well for the park area. So it's a big district.
My gosh, a great deal of real estate.
It's a great deal.
How many people does that encompass?
The whole population, I'd have to double check on the numbers. Okay. I know there's like 46,000 in
Bullhead, yes.
And I'd have to check for the Kingman. And,
yeah, Mojave County itself is 210, I believe now.
Is it? Is it? Yeah, it's okay. It's big. It's
right. So you mentioned affordability.
Yeah.
It's such a buzzword, this campaign. I think I've asked you this before, but what does affordability mean to you?
Yes. So actually, I brought this up in Colorado City, Paul, and mostly it was because you and others as well have asked me affordability. I, as a candidate, I'm not concerned about the expansion of Arizona. Really, I feel as though we've had a massive influx in population over the past 5 to 10 years. Arizona has grown exponentially. And what I'm concerned now is that our infrastructure seems to be behind 10 to 20 years, along with all of our resources. So energy, we talked about electricity and, again, the water. And those are my concerns that I want to bring attention to if I were elected to the House.
So Phoenix alone, 6.5-7 million people. Vegas, what, 2 million? 2.5?
Yeah.
But yet the allocation of Colorado River water just doesn't seem to show that, you know, it seems like we're getting the short end of the stick here in Arizona.
We are.
How do we fight that?
Well, we need elected officials, all of us, to be advocating for that. And I think that I, respectfully, but I'm not relying or entrusting in the other six states. You know, there's seven of us. And I'm not trusting the federal government or any of the other states to give us any kind of priority. And just like you said, the priority of the water allocation, we're at the bottom of the totem pole.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Yeah. Well, and again, you know, California, they just lost a congressional seat because the population had left. And where did they go to? They came to Nevada. They came to Arizona. And right. So we really need to reevaluate these. These treaties are as old as my grandma, respectfully. Actually, I think they're older than my grandma. They're older than my grandma.
1928.
Yeah, they're older than my grandma, and we need to really be reevaluating them. It's ridiculous that, you know, we haven't updated this. And so, but I think Arizona really needs to prioritize Arizona, and that we really can't trust on the federal government or the other states to give us priority. We need to advocate for ourselves.
I joked with Harry Reid one time that he helped write the original Colorado River Compact. So there, that was 1928.
Yes.
But anyway, what about public lands? What should the state focus on as a management strategy?
Yeah, so I was actually part of the Public Lands and Recreation Commission that was Supervisor Gould. He had initially appointed me to, and I learned a lot. You know, we love to ride, you know, the boats and the side by side. So we love coming out, and we appreciate. And I'm just going to just friendly fire against Californians. When you guys come out to ride in our neighborhoods, please pick up your trash, okay? There is glass. There is so many bottles. Like, we'll take the kids out, and we'll tell them, you know, hey, we'll bring a bag and just say, pick up the trash, you know? But it's really disheartening, and it feels like we need to be taking care of our public lands, and there's just massive amounts of trash out there. You know, it's fun to enjoy it for the weekend, but please pick up after yourselves. Yes, so
even glass?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't pick up the glass, kids, all right?
Yeah, don't pick up the glass. But we really need to be taking care of it.
Right.
We can't just trash all of our public lands.
So our phone line is open, 928-854-5687, 928-854-KNTR, or you can text us at 928-727-5566. And, I think I asked you this before, but in the time of a pandemic, how much power should the director of the state's Department of Public Health have? It seemed like they had an awful lot of power, right?
Arizona
Department of Public Health. Is it Public Health or Health Services?
Yeah, Department
ADHS.
Department of Health and Human Services.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and with respect to Governor Doug Ducey, I think he did a good job. I think everybody, it was such a time of chaos and nobody knows really what's going on. We didn't really have any literature. I was working in the pandemic, and it was a scary time. You know, we were wearing, you know, masks and
tell people
gowns
what you do.
And yeah, so so I work right now. I was working in a primary care office, and I opened up my own business, but mostly I work in Las Vegas in the emergency room. I'm onboarding at Exceptional Hospital in Bullhead, also in the emergency room. So the reason, I changed my schedule actually for this campaign and to prioritize spending time with my family. But I was a full-time up until the past couple of months. I was an acute care hospitalist, which meant that I was part of a physician's group where you came into the hospital and you were admitted, that I was on the team overseeing the entire. So I oversaw med-surg, telemetry, ICU. The only department I didn't oversee was OB and the ER because I'm not an OB doctor and I'm not an ER doctor.
We have a total of about 3, maybe 4 minutes left. So that being said, on a state insurance level, what would you do to change access?
Yeah, so we have a lot to do. And I actually, thank you for reminding me. We have 90 legislators, and only less than, I believe, I 3 of them. And shout out to Representative Selena Bliss, because she is actually one of the members for the Department of Health and Human Services for Arizona, also an NP. So I was...
Nurse practitioner?
Yeah, she's a nurse practitioner. It's very, very nice. I met her at the ASRA convention. We need to find out where the fraud is. We need to cut out the waste, and we need to make sure that those who are on access are actually legal, legitimate citizens. So this is a big problem. I know it's very controversial. But frankly, I we need to cut down the budget because, with all due respect, but the government has shown us that they cannot be trusted with our money until we find out where all this massive fraud and waste is. So respectfully, I don't believe in expanding the budget anymore. If anything, I think that we need to cut it back drastically and then allow the government to prove to us as voters and with taxpayers that they can be trusted.
Okay. Tell people again, while we're in the final moments here, why Caroline Stricker decided to run for Legislative District 30 state representative.
Yeah, of course. So, you know, you can't just complain about the problem. You have to be part of the change. And I think something that that I advocate for is that I'm a professor. I teach in the nursing program at Mojave College. I'm a provider. I'm also a nurse. So I have a unique set of skills and knowledge that allows me, you know, to be involved in the general budget as a legislator, that I can advocate on multiple different ends. I'm a parent, I'm a teacher, I'm a healthcare provider, and I think this gives me a unique set of knowledge and skills for that.
All of that said, would you do this again?
Would I run?
Yes.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I have, you know, future, maybe down the road. Yeah. I've learned a lot.
It must take a terrible financial commitment for you to.
There's not a whole lot of pay
this.
In that.
Yes, yeah, no, it is literally probably like less than a sixth of what I potentially.
Right, no, seriously, I don't even think it's $30,000 a year anymore.
No, it's 24.
Yeah, right, for a state representative. Yeah. It's more of a stipend.
Yeah, this is not a benefit for me, let's just say that.
right. Yeah, anyone that says they're getting into it for the money, I don't know. Anyway, it's always good to have you here. And I always ask candidates, too, is there a committee that you would be best suited for? And then what is the committee that would be outside of your comfort zone?
So obviously the committee that I believe that I would best serve on is the Department of Health and Human Services. Mm-hmm. So that I feel very, very comfortable. The part that I'm least comfortable with, I think, would probably be transportation. Mm. I would be very curious to be a part of the election integrity committee, but is that my forte? No.
Right.
You know?
Right. Sometimes it's good to be outside of your comfort zone, right?
Yeah.
All right. Caroline Stricker, our guest. She'll be at the Legislative District 30 and in the Candidates Forum. What am I trying to say? On the 17th. It's on Wednesday, the 17th of June, 17th of this month. And I believe start time is at 5:30.
Yes.
So is that what you have, too?
Yeah, I believe that's correct.
Perfect. Caroline, thanks for being here.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
We're going to take it straight up to Hannity. Jim, thanks for being here, too.
Pleasure as always.
You bet. All right. We'll see you tomorrow on Speak Out.
And Uncle Sam, no. Got a big old plane that's gonna take me far away.
This is KNTR Talk KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.